Hey everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio. Glad to have you around, as usual. We do this every single week, three times a week, on iTunes, on podcasting apps, on SoundCloud, wherever it may be. We're happy that you hear us. We are, as always, airing on WCRS in Columbus, Ohio, Community Radio 102.1 or 98.3. Every single Sunday at 10 p.m., we bring it to you. We are trying to level everything out. We've been telling y'all for a very long time that we got to stop serving the ruling class. We got to comrade up and make better decisions, do some mutual aid, do something that's radical and outside of the scope of these Republican and Democrat solutions because they aren't working for us. So that's why we're here. Sorry, I have terrible allergies. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host here is Brian Quinby. I was holding back that cough. And so far, so good as far as the week goes for me. And I hope that everybody else is enjoying their time. And, you know, more than anything, we want to be a place where you can come and have fun and not get all bogged down in the intricacies or everything or get bummed out. We want to have a good time and have a laugh riot all the way to a complete flattening of society. But we'll fill all this in for you later on. For now, all you got to do is sit back and enjoy because we're about to get started, right?
A literal flattening of society, like the earth that we live on. A big, flat earth. This guy's over here dying on the radio. Yeah, unplug that
whole
mic
time.
When you core. I guess it did, these mics don't pick up unless you fucking got them in your mouth anyway. So I think we're okay.
Yeah, I got them. I got those seasonal allergies. I got that reactive airway disease, man.
I don't. I have allergies, but they're the kind that make me just feel kind of tired and bummed out. It's not like a coffee sort of thing. I'm just tired, you know?
Mine are on the way out. I can deal with it. It's fine. I did go to bed one night this week. Basically what felt like breathing through a straw, and overnight I just kind of hoped that I would wake up before I died.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, there's a function in the body that says like, wake up, you're about to die, you know?
I always think that when I'm on like really high too. I'm like, man, I'll know. I'm not going to die in my sleep. It always happens when I pop pills. When I pop a lot of fucking painkillers, every night I spend the whole rest of the night just waking up like every 15 minutes and be like, oh, you almost got me there, death.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that, yeah. It's like a really good weed edible where you're like, what if I forget to breathe? Like, when was the last time that I breathed?
When's the last time I thought about breathing? Now that I'm thinking about it, is that why I'm doing it?
Am I breathing or am I talking? Is there a difference? Do you have to... Is talking part of breathing, or do
it can
I
be?
Do I have to do it?
Talking is part of breathing for guys like us. We never stop doing it.
That's how I breathe.
Well, this is the first show we're doing since we're back from Pikeville, Kentucky. We went there to check out the bad guys, the Nazis, right? Well, I can't call them Nazis anymore. I got to call them like... Well, they're kind of Nazis.
They were Nazis.
They actually go by Nazi.
There was also a swastika tattoo, and they were Zig Heiling.
They have all the Nazi stuff. It doesn't look. I'm gonna come in right now. It doesn't look fun to be a Nazi at all.
Yeah. So for those of you that didn't know, over the weekend, April 29th, there was going to be a rally for the new National Front, which was going to be a combination of all these different white supremacy groups. And, you know, there was this rally for peace that was planned that was supposed to be counter protest to what their rally. Then the cops and the administrators at the school were like, it seems unsafe for y'all to protest Nazis. How about you do it at the college? And they were like, fine, we're going to do it at the college. We're just going to go over here. We're going to hope for, you know, anti-Nazi things to happen and just, you know, put out good vibrations in the city whilst people are putting out hate. Well, then the police were like, I mean, the Nazis will probably bomb you if you were to hold an event like that. And so then They were like, we're going to cancel the event. This is the day before the big, I mean, it's just a Facebook event. I mean, it's not necessarily like they were promising like this gigantic demonstration, but they had set something up. I mean, Huffington Post picked it up, BuzzFeed picked it up, that there was going to be this anti-hate rally down in Appalachia. And
actually, Brett tried to talk me into going to the anti-hate rally, and I read the description. I was like, that sounds like it's going to be pretty liberal. I think I'm out on this one.
This was back in March. I was like, I think we need to be in Pikeville. We said Pikeville before we came to
Pikeville. And we will always say Pikeville. I said Pikeville in an ironic, smart-ass way at the beginning.
No, I mean to honor their heritage and say Pikeville, because everybody from there said Pikeville.
It's some Indians' heritage. That's not their land. Oh, stop they didn't it. Name it Pikeville.
Well, we still have to respect...
Find out the Indian name, and okay. We'll say it their way, okay? But no, I don't give a... It's Pikeville from...
No, I was really funny. So I was trying to gather information on what exactly we were getting into, and I watched this news clip, and they immediately, one of the newscasters said, this Saturday in Pikeville, Kentucky, and I was like, oh, I forgot that. I forgot all about that, that's how they say it. I mean, that's their shit, man. I'm respecting it. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm not a Pikeville guy anymore.
I'm a Pikeville. Changed. I say Pikeville.
Dude, Pikeville was beautiful.
You still say Iraq.
I do say Iraq.
Yeah, it's Iraq.
No, it's Iraq.
It is Iraq for me, so you can say Pikeville. You're fine with doing it to the Middle Eastern place, but not the white city in the middle of the country. Jeez.
Maybe.
That's something. That's probably problematic in some way. Somebody would be like, oh, I noticed that, and then... Hit you in the DMs.
I know.
Tell you fucked up.
Make me feel like shit. Then they'll get a whole bunch of followers for taking me down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it did go down. Pikeville happened. And it's hard to say. I mean, it's hard to say how exactly I felt without, you know, minimalizing or making it sound.
Let me just say it like this. If I, in my mind, saw this happen, right? And I just kind of had that thought, and this is just coming from me, and I think Brett feels pretty much the same way, that like if you ignored this, it's insignificant and it would go away. That is probably because we're both white married dudes, and we're not like we don't feel threatened by white supremacists like in the same way that a person of color would feel about white supremacists.
I'm going to say, I'm going to break the paradigm and say that there doesn't have to be an either or. There are two answers that are right here. Number one, if people go out and openly spread hate, you should show up and say no to that. Number two, you are absolutely correct that these folks were completely pathetic and they would not have coerced anybody by being out there.
Yeah.
And it would have been quite fucking hilarious to see 18 to 30 really schlubby dudes and a few ladies with them, and to be all alone out there while a bunch of cops stood around them. I think that would have been quite fucking hilarious.
Two women. There were two or three women there. Which is like, ugh, man, this party sucks. This white supremacy sounds horrendous to me. They're all drinking Mountain Dew and smoking. There's a guy that looks like fucking Charlie Daniels, and then a guy that looks like a white supremacist from The Lost Boys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have to say overall, I mean, it's hard because my compassionate heart kicks in. That I could make fun of poor people real bad right now and talk shit about all the Nazis, but the people look like they were in pain. I mean, I can't help it. I'm a total empath through and through, and it's people that probably had a pretty fucking bad life, I imagine. I don't think they're doing this and graduating from Wharton Business School and becoming the fucking president, you know? Like, these are just... guys, and then, well, actually, I don't know, it's hard, because...
They're fucking losers. Most of them looked like real big-time losers to
right.
me.
There was the guy that looked like a Lost Boy. He looked like a generic-ass dollar store vampire.
Yeah.
Black with, like, the cheapest black sunglasses you could buy with the fucking Oakley's. Mirror lenses.
I hate to say this.
Folkley's is what he had.
I hate to say this to, you know, some people that I grew up with and some people that I know. Oakley seemed to be the thing for the glasses of the white supremacists now. It's like, sorry, I think we lost to Oakley's, guys. And I know this is going to affect a significant portion of people that I respect very much. People that I've been around, but I don't know, man.
Well, and then there was a Dwight Schrute looking dude out there that was real passionate because he said he loved Appalachia a whole bunch, and I kind of believed him. You know, I realized that it's all for twisted fucking reasons that he thinks he has to come out like that. But overall, I think what bugs me is that I did notice there were some like health goth type dudes. There was guys that were in like instead of wearing like those Chuck E. Cheese costumes they had him in, he had on like a Ralph Lauren polo, and his hair was like super slick and like everything was clean, and you know, he looked like an Aryan race type.
He's
fucking motherfucker.
He's not really that into being a Nazi.
No,
like 100, like
he likes the aesthetic though. He likes the like the certainty of it and like the cleanliness of it all.
I guess he's really, he traveled there to do it, I guess.
Yeah, so that's true.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of cleanliness back there's a lot there either.
Well, yeah, I mean, for him though, that's what I'm gonna say is that I think the problem is that with a lot of those organizations, the old guys are leeching off of the young guys.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I mean,
they're paying some kind of dues.
There's desk jockeys. There was like, that's why I said there was a Dwight Schrute looking dude and the health goth looking guy. Probably both were pulling down serious salaries, and I'm guessing funding some of the organization, because that's how that shit works, man. That Charlie Daniels racist looking guy just preys on people like that. Talks in their ear and gets them to start paying dues and all that, you know?
Yeah, he quotes books. That's what these guys do. Like, I think that's the easiest way to convince a group of people, even dumb people, will follow you if you're like, well, have you read this book and this other book? And there's like, let me quote this book to you. And then they do that. And then they're like, oh, yeah, I am racist.
You let got me
throw
fucked
you
up.
Some statistics here and quote this book. And I think I got myself a racist. The part about it that I want to relay that made me feel good was this dude that looks like a vampire was very passionate, and he was passionately screaming. But every time he tried to scream, people started from Antifa screamed so loud that you couldn't hear a single word the guy said. And it just made him more mad. And I don't know that he knew how funny it was that like his veins were popping out while he was screaming and nobody could hear him. But that was a liberating experience.
Yeah, I have to say, the turnout was awesome. We showed up and met up with Antifa at a park, and everybody that showed up was super nice and cool, and there was no hijinks. And there was some, man, I loved how many regular-ass people were there. I mean, shout out, even later on, you know, some of the Pikeville residents got arrested themselves because they were kind of just tired of the bullshit. This was the first time for some people's protests, you know?
Yeah.
That's an old granny with like a fucking washcloth on her fucking hair, had her hair wrapped up in a washcloth or some shit. She's out there holding a Black Lives Matter sign. It was nuts.
I mean, the thing is, those motherfuckers like came in there and they were threatening people and they turned their town upside down. And, you know, old people don't like Nazis either, man. Nazis aren't popular like around the board here. Like everybody that's not a Nazi hates Nazis. That's just the way it is.
Well, this has been the problem about this the whole time. There was literally someone with swastika tattoos. They were doing Sieg Heils out there, and we still have people wringing their hands about this. And it's like, you have pumped me full of so much anti-Nazi propaganda. Are you seriously holding it against me now? Are you seriously treating me like this is irrational?
This is propaganda. They'll tell you, now you're engaging in propaganda. Jeez, which side am I supposed to be on? If you wanted me to be a Nazi, you should have told me to be a Nazi from when they kind of did. But I mean, you know, there was like some normal people that I like. There was a guy there that from the church that was mad because they were saying to punch people. He's like, why would you do that to? Just because they're white. And then he asked, why don't we protest? Oh, my God. I want to address this. And this guy is never going to listen to this show. But a lot of times,
he was a dumbass that was just trying to make a scene.
Right. And a lot of normal people's arguments are that we don't go out and protest the Mexican mafia, is what he said, which is nuts. I mean,
right. That's some... That's a non-starter.
We didn't protest the Italian mafia either. People don't protest mafias for some reason. I would, I guess, but we're afraid of. Or we don't protest the Black Panthers. And I want to point out, number one, if there is a Mexican mafia, it's in Mexico.
And they're not called a mafia.
They're not called a mafia. It's like when they say there's Indian princesses. It's like, ah, they weren't princesses, though.
No, but kind of was.
Yeah, you know, the basic idea of a princess.
It's still organized crime.
Yeah. And I would, I mean, I don't know, man. White supremacy seems like, for me, it's like one of those things where it's like, we got to go get our own people. We got to rein these fucking people in. You know what I mean?
Well, they're allowed to run with it, too. I mean, the black uprisings, the government just fucking kills those people out of existence. I mean, and Mexican crime. I mean, there is not like the MS-13 do not have a house in Columbus, Ohio that everybody's just kind of cool with them trafficking people out of and running guns and meth and shit.
They scared a lot of people. Now, Breaking Bad is my argument. That's what scared people about the cartels. That show made people think that they understand drug cartels.
The twins. They got people like the twins out there.
Might as well be video game bosses. And they thought, like, yeah, that's possible. I mean, that's totally, they're crazy out there, you know? And is that the only thing they want? I'm trying to think of what else. Sicario probably is something that they're convinced it's just like we talked about
locked
with 20.
Locked up, man.
Yeah. And that's on a news channel. So I mean, I would watch that and be like, shit, yeah, that's probably a big problem. This is actually on the news channel that shows, like, during the day they cover the news. Because it's on MSNBC. So it feels like you're watching something real.
Yeah.
You know, something real and gritty. And, like, this is what it's like in jail all day, every day. You know, right. When the main thing you hear about jail is that it's boring. You know what I mean? But they make it sound like fucking, when a prison guard goes in, he's just going to have guys throwing shit at him until he leaves.
Trying to get him with the AIDS needle.
Yeah. So, like, I think about, like, I wish there was a way that, like, you just can't sit down with every person that has those really dumb beliefs, you know?
It's hard to reach people.
He was also an inconsequential dude, man, you know? He's just some guy yelling because he was trying to stir people up. He wanted to get in a fight in front of his woman. He had his woman there, and she was standing there, and he was just like, these people are yelling about my white heritage, and I'm going to whoop one of their asses.
Yeah, he was on our side.
He didn't. They talked him down.
He wasn't even a major part of anything. I mean, for the most part, it was just...
That was a moment, is what I'm saying, that I remember. And when I saw it, it was like, I've had this conversation before.
Yeah,
like, the conversation he was having with those people, I've had before with the other people like that guy, you know?
Yeah, but for the most part, it was just cops, like, taking up the whole road and...
Guarding the shit out of
them. Yeah, they had a barricade set up for everybody else. And, I mean, they were outnumbered. I don't know. I mean, it was good. It was a good showing. I wish there would have been more. I really wanted it to be people swarming because we didn't really have a chance to challenge the police. Like in D.C., there were so many people. It was like, we can fuck with these cops if we want to.
A little bit. We can get closer to them before they hit us with something.
This was a conglomerate of people. I mean, it was like, it was a hand. It was a few, you know.
Dudes with binoculars. A guy, this really cool guy, like a Lonnie type pro. I've never seen a leftist like this guy. He was just having the best time of his life. There he might be a guy that just lived in Pikeville and was like, fuck it, I'm gonna, you know, these Nazis are here, I don't like them, I'm gonna go there, I'm gonna get on the news, I'm gonna yell. He's like a town character, you know what I mean? And he was out there yelling at him, and he kept pointing out how they watching us, they ain't watching them, they watching us. And he's pointing up at the people looking at us with Homeland Security looking at us with binoculars, and he's talking about how they're looking at us and not the white supremacists. And you're like, yeah, well, they probably know all those guys.
Yeah, that's their pals. They drink with those folks. Yeah, I would. I really did. I would have liked to seen a rock or something get thrown from our side if we could have figured out a way to like coordinate that where someone could launch something at the same time, like everybody throws their hands in the air. You know what I mean?
Even some like sort a of water like a balloon. Chant. Even like some piss.
Oh, sure. Like yeah, pee-pee balloon would be fine.
Pee-pee balloon.
Nothing that causes damage.
Yeah, I don't have to hurt people, but I do want to demoralize. Like, I want them to feel like, if I go out, those leftists are going to make it hell for me. They're going to throw their doo-doo
cover
at
cover
me
in pee-pee.
Yeah, they're going to make me uncomfortable. Oh, man, we got a question. A street fight question.
Oh, really? Is it for advice?
It is. It is. I don't know if it's necessarily for advice because he seems like he's made up his mind.
Okay, so it's not advice.
Yo, Brett and Brian, working in a shit job that pays fairly well. I've been there, buddy. I have been there. But I have had enough and am looking at quitting within the next couple weeks for a manual labor job that won't pay as well. But I truly don't give a fuck anymore because the ice caps are melting and I don't want to spend the last years of my life hating what I'm doing and working 70 hours a week. I fucking love that attitude.
I mean, I don't know what the situation. I mean, if you're all by yourself, I mean, it's a good idea. I mean,
70 hours a week. He's working. He's probably working a ton of overtime because, you know, if you get paid a lot of money.
Well, it sounds like my wife.
I would rather do manual labor. I'd rather do 40 hours of manual labor any day over 70 hours of any other kind, any labor.
I'd rather do 40 hours of manual labor than street fight at this point because I never get a time off from this. People are always bugging me about shit. So to think like there's some days when I think about like if you just go and you show up and you do one thing, you just have to do that one thing really well. And you're done with it. When you leave, you're done with it. It would be like going and doing radio and then not having to be on top of your emails and your DMs and your at replies and Facebooks and shit.
No,
like,
yeah.
Like you would just go and record and then walk away from it and no, you wouldn't have to think about any of that shit ever again.
It's how I always felt at Insight. Like I go to the cable company and when I wasn't there, I locked the phone in the fucking truck and just pretended like it didn't exist.
I know. And that's how, I mean, there's lots of people too there. That's how I always got along in all of my jobs. They're like, man, when you leave the door, you really just hang it all up here. And I'm like, they're like, I stay up all night long gritting my teeth about this. I'm like, that is not a good. I would never do that.
I don't even talk about it when I'm not here.
No.
Nobody knows what I do.
No, I keep it a secret.
Fucking idea.
I keep street fighting secret. All of my job stuff, I'm like, you don't know about it. It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I never told anybody like what it was like. And I had a job that people cared about a little bit. Like, you go in people's houses every day. You must have some stories. And it's like, I don't want to think about that shit.
I already got paid for those jobs. So,
yeah, anyway, he's curious what the street fight belief is on putting in 2 weeks' notice. I really just want to put a note on my desk that says I quit and not show up anymore. But I have paid vacation days and sick days left that these motherfuckers better compensate me for. And I'm afraid if I stop showing up, they'll try and fuck me. The anarchist in me says sabotage some equipment before I leave and take a dump on my boss's desk. But the responsible human in me says give a 2 weeks' notice and then forget I ever worked there.
What, man? This is where you find out who you are, soldier.
I don't think that now this might be bad advice. I'll tell you this. I did not give 2 weeks' notice when I quit my cable job. I actually took all of my vacation in January, and then on the day I was supposed to come back, I quit.
That is a good solution.
and they still sent me my vacation time and sick time afterward. Now, I don't know if that's because they're nicer than other companies.
Well, it's corporation versus small business. Small business will fuck you if they can. Yeah. Corporation probably contractually has to pay some of that shit out.
Yeah. So, yeah, we need to talk about, you know, what sort of business. Because if you're at a small business, just do the 2 weeks and get out of there.
No, I would say fuck them. Small business is going to do shit.
But they can, if they have to pay you that stuff out, then they're going to do anything they can to not do that.
That's true.
What I'm saying.
That's true.
So it's like at a small business,
I mean, it's what, I mean, if you want to get it, man, you got to play by their rules. You're trying to play by their rules or you're trying to buck up and say, fuck you. I mean, and find out what happens because you got to deal with what the fallout is from telling them how you really feel. I mean, that's just is what it is, man. There's no easy way to get around it. You can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah. 2 weeks isn't the. I mean, here's the thing. I've never.
I've never done a 2 weeks. I've never done a 2 weeks ever. Not never.
I don't know what it's like to do it.
I've said, like, I'm cashing in my 2 weeks vacation. I'm out of here, bitch, and, like, walked before.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So Brett and I also can't really, like, give you – we can't get – I can't fucking in good conscience say you need to do your 2 weeks.
I mean – because
I've never done it, not one time. And, like –
here's what I would say. Sorry, go ahead.
It depends on what you're going. If you're going into, like, if you think you're going to go do roofing for 40 hours a week, they ain't going to care if you put in 2 weeks notice at the spreadsheet farm or whatever it is.
I mean, if you're just down to the point where you're thinking about the end of the earth, I would just sit out 2 weeks. Isn't going to cost you anything. Get the extra money, man. And endeavor, go into this thing with all of the benefits that you can get, man. You're already taking a huge hit. So sit it out, get your money and get it together and focus, man. And you know, I mean, I commend this endeavor because you will, by taking this on, find yourself in a position where it's like, well, now what do I really want to do? Like, how do I, if I can make this much money and be okay, what can I really get done? You know?
Yeah. I'd like to know what happens though, if you give that 2 weeks, like how they treat you. Cause at a small business, giving your 2 weeks can also be like
hit the bricks.
Yeah. Get out of here. Well, I don't need you. If you're going to leave me in my time of need, then I don't need you. Get out now.
That's true. That is true. That's what most bosses do. Throw a hissy fit. You abandoned us during the spring when we had a new salad menu and everything. Just leave.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's definitely like.
But he's big money. This is big money, dude. I mean, I would say, I mean, because, you know, the other thing is you might, and if you're not as nihilistic as you sound, I mean, you might want to just come back into the industry when you're like, I'm not trying to get carpal tunnels and the back pain from this shit. So if you don't want to leave a fucked up, if you don't want to leave a fucked up reputation, you know, protect that. But, I mean, it just comes down to, man, who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, man. It's up to you what you're going to be. I mean, you're going to go guns blazing into that hollowed out world that's all burn up, or are you going to try to do the paperwork thing?
Yeah, you can also, for sure. Just, I think that, like, if it pisses you off, the feeling you get from telling somebody to fuck off is worth it.
That's true. We're like running off of that. That's what we're running off of.
Yeah.
We didn't get, like, the pensions or, like, any sort of sick days paid out. But we know at one point in our life, a complete bastard of a person had someone look them in the face and tell them they were a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, or throw ranch dressing all over.
That is important to me that I did that because that guy was so mean. Had I not thrown ranch dressing on that man and screamed at him until they threatened to call security.
Yeah, I mean, there's times when I got, like, my 401k paid out and I got, like, an Echo sweatshirt or something with it. And then there's also the times when I knew that I looked someone in the face and told them they were a fucking bastard and they deserved it. And it hurt their feelings. I could tell that their feelings were hurt. I'm like, that's something that I can hold on to that forever. Like, that you can, I'm never going to take that away. I can't pawn that. And that's lived with me. That's inside of me. I can just slump down on any tree and remember when I told some fucking deserving asshole that they were wrong.
I loved it.
I finally stood up to one of them.
I loved it. Yeah. I mean, these guys. But like I said, you just don't know, man. Like, because when you feel like your job is killing you because it's boring and it's terrible, like, it is easier maybe to take the 2 weeks, you know, because it's just like, but if there's an asshole there, man, and he's been holding real estate in your brain, let him know.
Get it out.
Yeah.
You're never going to see him again. He's not going to show up anywhere else in your life. And you can just tell them, him or her, that they're garbage.
He'll take up a positive real estate in your brain at that point.
That's true. You get to switch it all in. Yeah. You get to trade it in. You get to trade in every, because that's what you're going to say. Like 10 years down the line, you'll be at a cocktail party and you're going to say, I'm this boss. He was a real asshole. He did this and this and that. And someone's going to be like, I can't believe he treated you like that. And then you're going to say, well, but I actually ended up throwing ranch dressing on him when I left the place. So it didn't matter. I don't know what's the spreadsheet version. I deleted all of his Google Docs.
I mean, if you just go in and fucking yell at somebody in those offices, that's like fucking pissing on their lawn. You know, every single
office is so polite. It's so cutthroat, but way too polite.
Yeah, that's like that. Everybody's quiet and they will hear you, and then they will talk about how cool it was that you did that to Bobby or Janet or whoever the person's name is that you're yelling at.
Yeah, they're like, remember, he punked them the fuck out. Do you remember that? We were there. Everybody was sitting and listening quietly as you went on this fucking tirade against somebody.
Everybody's smiling at each other and going, oh my God, pointing over the...
That's true, though. They're like, that's true. He's not going too far. That's true. He does sit too long on dial tones.
Some of that was accurate, sir.
I mean, he got a piece of you and he maybe did too much, but it was grounded in some truth. The roots were in the truth.
He maybe played too much, a little. He plays too much, but he was, yeah. This is things you should look into. I got a good small business tyrant story from I just remembered his name too. God dang it. Oh, and then it covers it. Felter Skelter on Twitter. His name is Felter Skelter. On twitter.com. Also, he's in the zine this month, the wrestling zine that you'll be able to buy soon on the website. Or if you're a Patreon subscriber, you already got it.
Yeah. And we are very bad about putting things on the website, but we are very good about sending out the zine every single month on the last day of the month, because people already got at me. If you sign up on May 1st, your shit is not getting sent out until May 31st. And I don't even think there's 31 days in May. But
there
it's
in May.
It's getting sent out May 32nd, motherfucker. Listen, we get it sent out in the month that you subscribe. It's probably going to be at the very last minute, though.
We don't get the damn thing done until about the end of the month, the 20th.
But that's the earliest you're going to get it. If you want to be the first person to get the new zines, sign up on Patreon.
Okay, so yeah. The same Melting Pot owner that claims their 3% minimum wage surcharge is not a political statement also backed the effort to repeal the Seattle's $15 an hour law. So this is a small business. A Melting Pot fondue restaurants in Seattle, Bellevue, and Tacoma are getting a ton of negative response from customers about the 3% government mandate surcharge they're adding to customers' bill and attributing it to minimum wage. These motherfuckers.
It's stupid.
This dude, he's like a U-line. He's like a Liz. He's like, you motherfuckers are going to eat at the Melting Pot. I don't give a shit.
See, here's the thing. What I'm thinking, here's what I don't like about it is like, why don't you not tell the customers and then we'll bump it up to 5% and you give us 1%? Like, I think you should keep, I mean, charge people more to pay people more. I don't give a shit how it gets done.
But don't, like, go on there and be
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I feel
like pitting they're basically saying, like, hey, customers, if this is an expensive bill, all you got to do is take a look at that server and them cooks and you'll know why.
You know why? These assholes.
They fucking won't stop asking for more.
Yeah, I do think that, I mean, I would like to see more businesses conspire to get more out of the customers, though. We don't do enough of that in America. I don't think we do our job with that.
Yeah. He said we must emphasize that this is not a political statement.
It completely is. I mean, you would rather not pay them anything. Yeah. I mean, in your perfect world, you wouldn't even have to charge the 3% and you would be able to pay them less.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, those guys that added that are all, they voted, like, that's most of Donald Trump's voting block. Most of the people that voted for Donald Trump were the people that added a 3% minimum wage surcharge and a 3% Obamacare surcharge on everything that they did.
Papa John's. They're all Papa John's. They're
a bunch of fucking, Papa John's is like the fucking king of that, like, realm.
I used to have all kinds of employees that worked 40 hours a week at Papa John's. Now they have to work 31 hours a week so that I don't have to pay for their damn health care.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He's like the god of that shit. Papa John is the god of the small business tyrant, like Trump supporter.
What kind? I mean, what kind of a relationship is that? I mean, it's so inhuman to just put that on the receipt. Like you said, the person,
the person handed out a card, dude.
The person handing the receipt to those people, like, is the one that is the charge is supposedly being levied against.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I can read you the card he handed out, dude. This isn't just like a little thing on the receipt, Brett. Dear guest, beginning January 1st, 2017, we are adding a 3% surcharge to all your checks. Rather than just continuing to raise our prices, we have come to the conclusion that adding this relatively modest surcharge is the best way to allow us to continue to provide the highest quality of experience to you, our guests, in the current environment in which we operate our restaurant. So basically what they're saying is, we're not gonna raise our prices to pay these people. We're just gonna lay down a fucking...
That's nothing. I like the idea. I still like the idea. I would like to have like 5 or 10% get tacked on for the employees.
He says, as of January 1st, 2017, the minimum wage in Tacoma, Seattle, and Bellevue will have risen to over 28% over a 2.5-year period.
Well, no. But what's the amount?
It's $15 an hour in Seattle. God. It's a $15 plate.
And that's all it costs is 3%?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
But he could just raise the fucking prices on the thing.
Yeah, just 3%. Without
putting the 3%.
Make the fucking toast $1.03 instead of 99 cents and shut up.
Telling them.
I know.
And that's the issue with this.
I know. It's awful. It's crazy. Why? I mean, it's so mean-spirited. It feels like he's actively campaigning for them to get paid less.
That's some small... He's standing,
look, look at this. Look at this dummy here. Come over here. Look at her. She doesn't even brush her teeth every day. Let's see this. She's an idiot. She's an imbecile. All she can do is bring eggs to a table, and I have to pay her $15 now. It's fucking ridiculous. I don't know. Me and you, buddy, we're job creators here, and they punish us for it.
This is why communism is so appealing to me. They're always like, it'll end these guys, and I'm like... Good.
I know what I'm like. Good. Well, that's because that's what I go to too. Is like, man, 3% on your bill will get the employees paid $15 an hour. I'm like, if 6% on the bill will get them paid like $30 an hour, I'm cool with that too.
I usually give them 15% more than the bill.
Right. Yeah.
I tip 25%. It's like, toss a 25% fucking surcharge on that thing and pay him $100 an hour. Shit.
Yeah, it's so mean-spirited. It really sucks that we have to have these relationships. I still, there's points where I wonder, you know, where the show is going to be and like, you know, where what direction it'll head in. But it's every single day you see these circumstances and there's other like really reasonable people out there. They're like, I don't know why we're fighting over 3% on a bill and being shamed about it because I have to buy fucking food that has raised in prices over the last decade. I have to pay rent. The rent has increased by more than 3% in the last 10 years.
Yes.
So I have to make more than what they made 10 years ago.
Listen to this.
I saw another guy my age post the other day. I'm looking for a new job and they all pay $12 an hour. And that's what I made back in 2003.
Yeah. Yeah. They do all pay $12 an hour too. Believe
like that's
me.
The premium shit. Like that's when you're supposed to, be grateful for that.
It's what we used to call back in my day, a $9 an hour job.
Right. So, different terms.
Yeah.
We're trying to
like a good one. Like I always wanted a $9, like get me $9 an hour, motherfucker, and I'm ready to get out there, you know. But he said, we must emphasize that this is not a political statement. This is just us being honest and transparent with you about the impact that these initiatives are having on our restaurants. Our promise to you is that we and our team are committed to working that much harder to make your experience much more than 3% better. So now he's probably yelling at the fucking employees all the time. I had to raise the prices. People aren't going to eat here if you give them that subpar service.
Sandra, okay? Sandra, I need 104%. We're charging him $103 now because of you.
I need you to apologize for the price increase before you give them the specials.
I need you to tell them that you are going to be a burden on them and you're going to drag down their disposable income with your demands.
Yes. he probably is. Like, but like cutting, he's, you know, hours are cut like crazy. This guy.
Tyrant.
Man, I hate you.
I mean, it's
Lane Skelz. Hey, it's
has
Lane
he never been an employee? Is it somebody that's never been an employee before? I don't know what happens to these boss people that they just end up.
They
being
fucking worked for another
awful person.
They
right,
duplicate each other. Like,
they got
it's a certain personality type, and he like lays an egg in a guy's head. When like a guy gets a job at a fucking like a local supermarket when he's in the fucking when he's in high school, right, and the guy's just completely fucking an asshole and a tyrant to him. He's like, one day I'm gonna fucking own a business.
You know what, if that guy hadn't been screaming his head off at me about how to put those carts in order, I don't think I never would have got it.
Yeah, I don't think I never would have got a business. And I, and now
people move so slowly, but when you yell at the top of their lungs, they kind of perk up more.
Yeah. They just give birth to those people. That's why I don't
it's
want
like
my
abuse
kid to,
victim. It is. It's like
I don't want my kid to have a fucking job.
I know.
I just don't want it. I don't want her to like, because when you're a teenager, you're really susceptible to that. Like, dude, bosses will just, you know, walk all over you,
whip you into shape. Yeah. Dad, why don't you spit on the ground when you're really mad at me? You need to whip me into shape.
Yeah. Yeah, fucking this, these guys. So I wanted to, now we've been yelling about the about businesses, right? Now we're going to yell about the government, Brett.
My favorite thing to yell about.
Yeah, this will get you, man. This is good shit. Let me get the names of the people who sent this to me really quick. His name is Exiting Corpse. That's a sweet fucking name.
Yeah, it's very nice. That's how I feel most of the time. It sounds like general discomfort.
So, okay. This is from the New York Times, and it's from April 30th. It's by Patricia Cohen, Brett. That's who's giving us this news.
Patty Co.
Patty Co. That's what they call her. Mats Jarlstrom acknowledges that he's unusually passionate about traffic signals, which is exact. Brett and I are actually...
Yeah, I pay attention. I don't get involved with any drama, no petty bullshit, no nothing. But I sure as hell know when they're setting up a trap to get money from me.
Yeah. I am so like traffic and red lights issues are like two of the most things I'm passionate about.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely unfair that an officer can roll up on you when nobody else is around and you go through a goddamn red light at 2:30 in the fucking morning.
Listen to this, dude. His crusade to make traffic lights remain yellow longer, which began after his wife received a red light camera ticket, has drawn some interest among transportation specialists and the media. But among the power brokers in his hometown, Beaverton, it has elicited ridicule and exasperation. They literally laughed at me at City Hall.
He went there to address the issue of red light. Was it red light cameras?
Okay, it's a red light camera, and he's trying to extend the amount of time that the yellow light is on.
Well, and let me say, listeners, that the city, I think it was at Los Angeles County, got rid of all of their red light cameras because they had done the same thing. They had halved the amount of time that they did the yellow light, and it created this like public safety concern, and it wasn't making any money, and they were just like, that shit is like an albatross. We need to just not do anything.
This town's not in. They actually, they when a guy it. Said we should make this longer, they were like, right. That's,
you're
jerk.
Cutting. You're taking money out of my wallet, buddy.
Worse still was, and then listen to what they did here, Brett. To
I know they got him so good.
Worse still was getting hit recently with a $500 fine for engaging in the practice of engineering without a license.
No.
Without a license. Well, press. He.
He got a $500 fine for engineering without a license for doing a little mathematics.
That's going to happen to us now.
I know.
That's going to fucking happen to us. We're always engineering. That's like half of this show.
All the show has been engineering without a license. Social engineering without a license is what we do.
I mean, we do practical engineering, too. We've come up with like bike sharing programs. Basically, we take the cart corrals and we put them on the side of the road and we just fill them up with bikes.
We have a Ferrari library system. We've come up with cereal silos that reduces waste from putting them in boxes and bags.
And just everybody's going to be eating cereal a lot in the future.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of cereal.
So that's just the way it is. Man, they will fucking get you, though, won't they?
They will
hit you hard.
So basically, this guy was like, why are these yellow lights so short? And these people that are making the light short because they get paid a whole bunch of money were like, just back off, dude.
It was like he found the Illuminati.
Exactly. This is some Hot Fuzz type shit. This is
fuck off, dude.
Like, get out of here, man. We're making a killing on it. You can't do nothing about it, small time hero. You ain't shit. Take it down to the fucking tomato festival.
Small time hero.
Yeah.
This guy's going to fucking change the world, though, now, man.
You Jane nothing but a little city shit kicker. Get out of here with that mess. And then he did it. He showed up and he was like, I've contabulated the times and it shows that a yellow light. It's dangerous, too. It really is dangerous because I almost got hit on my bicycle on a yellow light situation before, and they need to give some ample time for that. Like, there should be some yellow light in there because people are like doing like a racetrack type thing. Like, when that turns green, they're stomping.
Yeah. You're right. And yeah, a little more yellow light wouldn't hurt anybody. It doesn't hurt anybody, really.
A little yellow won't hurt you at all.
No, give people time to decide if they're going to stop or not, even just that long.
Yeah,
where it's just like a
little extra.
Yeah. 30 seconds. Give 30 seconds.
Yeah. 30 second yellow. We're running on a $16 minimum wage and a 30 second yellow light here in Columbus, Ohio.
Maybe
it'd be a dual mayorship. It's the Quinby Payne platform. So this guy says to these fat cats that are laughing with their cigars and their jacuzzis and their Lamborghinis, and he says, hey, these yellow lights are fucked up. They said, oh, yeah, well, who gave you a license to do those mathematics that you're doing there?
Yeah.
What you know about it?
Guess who's defending this guy? Who is like...
Jesse Jackson?
No, the Koch brothers.
No!
You know, they'll be into anything that'll defund money from the government.
Yeah, they're...
Which is like, but this isn't how the government should be getting... They should be taking it from the Koch brothers.
I think Koch brothers are kind of chaotic neutral.
No, they're bad.
You think they're bad?
I think most of the time they're bad, but sometimes
they like to fuck
they're
shit
just
up.
Like,
they really like fucking shit up sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably like cool with like private prisons too, because
oh,
they're,
God,
they're just
you're
good
right.
with whatever makes money and takes money away from the government, you know? That's what they're cool
That's
with.
True. They're chaotic evil.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. But they're, I mean, like, at least they're defending this fucking engineering without a license thing scares the shit out of me.
Stop.
Because I always.
They're going to tell me I can't give the neighbor kid a goddamn bowl cut in my living room.
Yeah. You can't. You're not allowed to propose a solution unless you have a license. Like, this guy was doing, that's what you're supposed to do with the government, right? Is you're supposed to be like, hey, I'm going to go to the government. I'm going to tell them. This is some physics I worked out. And
it's not even physics, man. It's basic-ass mathematics shit. He was doing, like, arithmetic.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing, like, quantum physics or nothing. He wasn't talking about the atoms inside the fucking vehicle. He's just saying, like, he's talking about seconds. Like, we know how seconds work.
We
need 30 of them.
30 of them. Yeah, 30 seconds. I mean, yes. I'm with you, man. Why isn't it just a thing where we like we vote on the fucking amount of time that it's yellow? Like, why are they even making the decision?
I hate them.
Of how long it's yellow for?
This is what got me started on Street Fight was when I looked around at everybody and was like, why do we want the cops to punish the shit out of this over punish the shit out of us over these arbitrary regulations? People are out here making decisions on the road, and we don't need a fucking LED light is not smarter than my goddamn brain that has sat here and saw that nobody else is coming from either fucking direction. If I want to go and drive, that's my prerogative.
The light is a suggestion.
Yeah, the light is a fucking very helpful suggestion.
I follow it. That's all. I follow the suggestion of the light.
I've been running so many lights. I love running lights. Now that I know that y'all don't got the cameras here, I love running red lights in Columbus.
About to get them. Dayton's trying to get them back. Dayton's like, oh, I think we can get these back. And now they're taking it to the Supreme Court. Once one place gets them back, we're all getting them back.
I want to drive freely.
But me too. I like that it's a suggestion. I mean,
I don't even see how many. I haven't seen any shithead or dangerous drivers on the road in an extremely long time.
They're out there.
I was one of them at one point. I did that stuff, and I know there's people doing fucked up shit on the roads, but it is so fucking rare. We don't need the police charging us millions of fucking dollars a month just for driving around.
It's just,
I'm on dirty tags again, so I'm about to be on a goddamn high horse and soapbox when I get busted about this shit, because I'm driving the car fine, everything's working okay, and just because some numbers on a computer don't match up, y'all are about to hit me with another $300 fucking fine and take my packs whenever they find that thing.
You need to not take your packs. I didn't take my packs to Pikeville because I was like, nope, it's no, like motherfucker.
It's like taking $300. It's just like having it in your wallet. And like,
they're allowed to take.
They're going
to
throw it away.
Yeah. They're going to just take it and throw it in the trash or something. No, I'm keeping this fucking thing in my house. I'm not taking this thing to a place where there's going to be crawling with cops.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fuck. Did you see the cop story?
There's a cop story?
Oh, God. Yeah, they shot an autistic guy.
An autistic guy?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, I didn't see if it was an actual guy.
Oh, maybe
an autistic person. In the Twin Cities. That's Minneapolis and St. Paul, right? Yeah, it is.
It is.
It is. It might be. It might be Twin Cities somewhere else. I don't know. I'm not looking really. I don't know the city.
Like a tale of Twin Cities?
He was training director of one of... Oh, man, jeez. Come on, ads. I don't need a Hardee's ad coming on when I'm trying to read about these cops.
Is there Hardee's in Columbus? Dealings.
No, there's no Hardee's in Columbus. Oh, they're just bad.
You're global. You're like an international.
Yeah, it was Sonic anyway. And yes, there are about 47 million Sonics in Columbus.
Yeah, there's a lot of Sonics now. No Hardee's, though, man. Those places are great. You can get everything.
I'm about to go home and make a Frosty when I get home.
Really?
Healthy stuff, though. Okay, so this guy, he was the training director of one of St. Paul's largest security companies, a man certified on when and how to use mace, which left police mystified as to why Timothy Newton would pepper spray an autistic man in the face for eating a cookie from a Cub food sampler tray.
So, Cub Foods? They still have Cub Foods there?
Don't get hung up on Cub Foods.
I love Cub Foods. Sorry. It was one of my favorite places to shop. I had my first star fruit at a Cub Foods.
Okay.
They used to have like a kid produce day. You would go there and they'd give you a free piece of fruit just for being a kid.
Cute bear, too. Cute cub.
Yes.
It's a bear. It was just a cute
bear. We moved
bear.
From Cub Food to Big Bear to Giant Eagle.
Big Bear was also a cool bear.
The bear was great.
Yeah.
The Big Bear was great. The Giant Eagle, they don't even, there haven't even been a picture of the Giant Eagle grocery store. Like there hasn't even, I don't even, there's no mascot for that. And that seems... Why would you have an animal in the name? Like, that's the biggest selling point. For most of our major brands, like, there's an animal involved with it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you...
That's where you go get
exploit
food.
The
it's
shit
from
out
an
of
animal.
It. Yeah, exploit lion. That. Yeah. I buy food from animals.
Food Lion is another one.
Right.
Piggly Wiggly.
Yes.
They're all fucking... You just love to buy your food from an animal for right. some reason. That's probably something like PETA would be mad about that or something.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah,
the guy's 53. Jewel Osco is from Blood Diamonds.
They charged him, though. He wasn't a cop. He was a security instructor.
Okay.
He was an off-duty security. So he is kind of gets to be a cop sometimes.
Right.
You know?
He gets to exert authority on people.
Come the fuck on. Off-duty. Like, at least he's not getting the Blue Lives Matter treatment. I bet he would, though. I bet you if you told a Blue Lives Matter person, they'd be like, well, he,
yeah.
I mean, he's not a cop, but he does train people on how to do security at a Cub Food.
He keeps law and order. So wait, so this is the guy that at Cub Foods maced somebody?
He maced a, okay. Knudsen was, okay, according to an incident report in early March, Knudsen was a customer at Cub Foods, but I don't need to tell you where, when he saw a man eating a donut or a cookie from the bakery. He told an employee at the store service desk, but she said she didn't see it and there was nothing she could do. Jeez, fuck. He went and told on somebody for eating a cookie or a donut, Brett. Like, he saw somebody getting their hands on a cookie or a donut and just eating it. No harm, no fucking foul. Nobody else. He went and told on them.
It doesn't even happen that often. It's just, I mean, me and this other guy are the only people that do it.
I never do.
I've never witnessed a person doing it. All the time, I graze from all of the bulk foods all the time, and it amazes me that I don't see other people doing it. I'm really uncouth.
I feel like it's against the law. I feel like it's against.
No, it's not.
I know. I understand. It's just, if this was like the old days and you were at a general store, you'd be allowed to try the peanuts before you bought them.
Sure. Sure. You need to check their freshness level. Yeah. I mean, I open shit up. I try shit on. I mean, and definitely try, you know, eat the food there and figure out what it's like.
If it's free. If they have a free little, like the thing, like a plastic lid with the cutout on the front,
yeah, you can
like a terrarium for
gummy bears, for,
not like gummy bears. I'm talking about like little samples of like a 7-layer cookie bar.
Oh,
that's
guacamole, what he was
getting his hands.
Okay,
in,
right,
you know?
Right,
He's standing in the deli section
when they cut a donut up into like 8 pieces and are like, give it a try.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to have this. And he just was like, I'm just going to have a whole one, which is fine. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I need a big sample size for this. If I'm going to switch donut dealers, I need to try the whole thing.
I got to see how satisfied I am after I eat the donut to know whether these are going to be enough for me.
A little taste won't do much. I need like all the filling and everything. I mean, this is a serious change in my life you're talking about.
This guy's a Trump voter, too. He's like a Trump voter, and he's really mad at the minimum wage, you can tell. Knudsen was not satisfied with her response, the complaint stated. He has to speak to the store's loss prevention personnel.
Oh, my God. Stop it, psycho.
Excuse me.
Observe and report, motherfucker. What is going on? Get out of it. It's none of your business. You're not on duty anymore. Like you get to live your life. You're free from all of those pressures. This guy is just like living in a fucking cage.
Yeah. Now his employers
go get your own, man. Just go have a just go toast him. I'd go grab one myself and be like, they ain't gonna do shit about this.
Yeah, when somebody does that too, when you see somebody do it, you can be like, they don't even fucking care.
Well, we should do that more often. Yeah. Let's share a cookie. Do you have any time? Do you want to share? Let's have a cookie break. It's like 90 seconds of your life. Let's catch up. Where are you from? Are you born and raised here or not?
What's
the scuttlebutt?
That is beautiful. That gets more people talking.
Yeah, eat cookies in the store. Consume. I mean, when I buy grapes, because they sell those by the pound, man, I try to eat at least half of the bag when I'm there. I don't want to pay for it.
This is a guy that like nobody ever wants to talk to or get to know.
I mean, this is somebody. This is a guy that that would probably not talk to you over the way you grill your hamburgers.
Yeah,
he breaks too many rules, man. He presses. Well, I don't think you should press a burger, man. I can't respect that. So I mean, Tracy, you can hang out with all the guests here, but I'm going to sit in the corner.
Yeah.
This son of a bitch, man.
Oh,
what happened to him?
Guy, let me tell you. Let's get to the thing here. The cookie eater, a 20-year-old Roseville man who was not identified because he has autism and is classified as a vulnerable adult, paid for his groceries and began making his way back to the deli bakery area again. Knudsen fell in 2 steps behind him. So this guy ate a cookie and he was like, these are good.
Dude, when I moved to Virginia, to Northern Virginia, which is like, I mean, it's a rich people's paradise. There's like, you know, it's $1 million homes and shit. I used to do mystery shops at these Harris Teeters in these really expensive places. And one time I saw this guy in like a Hawaiian shirt and like flip flops and cargo shorts. He looked like John Larroquette, like a John Larroquette that hadn't showered in a few days, like a house hubby. Like he was just so domesticated and he was so jazzed at like the pepper jack cheese trials. And he just ate, like, I watched him eat like 9 blocks of fucking Pepperjack Cheese and like dance in his little shoes, like with excitement. And I don't think that we should live in a world that would try to slap away that kind of enjoyment from somebody.
This is some good Pepperjack Cheese.
Yeah, he was just like, ooh, ooh, ooh. He was like dancing along to whatever the fucking Bob Seger was on the speakers and eating Pepperjack Cheese. And like that guy honestly probably made like $250,000 a year and was doing that. And
yeah, he probably also came back to the store too. Like he bought some and then he came back to the store and bought more cheese. Oh, like, yeah. They love him.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's a cheese guy.
Yeah.
He'll open a bag of pretzel rods and start digging them right into that free cheddar.
They just like his company. That's something with you too, though. People like your company, so they'll be like, ah, you can eat all the cheese you want.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, nobody's, people don't like that biscotti. They usually say it's too fucking European and spit it out. I'm glad that you like it.
Yeah,
I'm glad you enjoy our free trials. I don't know, man. Like, I think I'm too much of a romantic in a way where, like, you would be at a grocery store and someone would pick up a cookie and eat it, and it would just be like, I mean, this is the fucking place that's like celebrates food and shit. I mean, it's all about food here. There's nothing more that we do here besides eating.
It happens every day.
Yeah,
like every day, most of us don't care, but this guy,
they make a fucking 1,200 cookies a day, and you know they plan on 10 of those getting finger fucked by a kid or like breaking apart. Or yeah. some fucking senior citizen tucking one into their pocket for the thrill of it.
Yeah.
And like no, and everything works. Like still everything works day after day. And this guy is just like, there's been an injustice in this world.
Well, he gives his side in this story.
Oh, God.
He wasn't there when the police arrived, but he called the police 2 days later to give his side of things.
It's been eating me. Officer Mitchell, it's been eating me up, something terrible. I witnessed a crime, something truly criminal.
He said he saw the man taking and eating food and added that the man came across to him as a kid that was on drugs. Well, who cares? That's the only way to go to the store. When asked why he came to that conclusion, Knudsen said the man seemed to be in a zombie state, dragging his feet, not swinging his arms, and wearing shoes whose heels were crushed down in the back.
This dude is in people's business too much.
Really?
Like, yeah, please, let's not throw any stones, okay? Because you might get some thrown back at you.
I wouldn't be surprised to find out this guy is the leader of the local tea party.
What kind of bullshit is this?
He's mad as shit, dude. He's just a mad motherfucker. He sees people. He thinks they're on drugs. He thinks drugs turn you into a zombie.
Yeah. Cookies. Yeah, I mean, most people on drugs are just buying a whole bunch of cookies and taking them
home. Why does it matter if the fucking people on drugs are eating the cookies? That seems like... Who gives a
shit? If I'm going to tell you, Street Fight listener, I'm going to put this out there on wax so people can hear it. If my daughter is too stoned on drugs and eating cookies in the middle of the night, don't arrest her, please.
Yeah.
Just let her eat the cookies and make sure she makes it home safe like don't everybody else.
Yeah, don't arrest kids. Here's what you do when you catch a kid shoplifting at your store. You say, get the hell out of here.
Stop fucking doing this. Figure out something better. Figure out something better than stealing because it ain't going to work out in the end.
Yeah.
It ain't a career. Damn, unless you're on Wall Street.
This fucking guy, man, just he was an instructor for American security. And oh, my God. Unbelievable, this guy. Fucking maced a guy.
How did the mace? We never got to the mace part. What happened? You said he called 2 days later.
Yeah, he called 2 days later and he said it looked like the guy was on drugs.
So he maced him?
Yeah.
Okay, so what in the store?
There was a sign that said free. In the accounting from the newspaper, this story, they have stated that the guy saw a dude get free cookies.
Right.
Right.
Which we're totally down with. I mean, everybody should have
them. He was like, hey. And the guy was like, I'm still going to get this. I'm going to get one more.
Yeah, I'm about to get these cookies. This shit's free as hell.
One more cookie. And the guy was just a random dude shopping at the store. So why would you even pay him?
He was
him
a security guard at another place, right?
He wasn't even a security guard. He teaches security guards how to stand around.
So like the amusement park trainer is at the grocery store.
Yeah. The guy that gives the orientations when you get the job at the security company.
He's the one that hands you the new polo and hat.
Yeah. He gives you your key card. He gives you your cloth badge.
Your lanyard.
Your
little windy wheel thing that had your card on it. Whatever that is.
Make 6 or 7 passes. I don't know. If there's a security guard out there, it tells you what security guards do.
But I didn't get to this part of the story. He maced the guy?
He fucking was like,
stand down! Drop the donut, sir! Drop the confectionery!
Police asked whether Knudsen felt threatened by the man. Knudsen said no, but said the man turned abruptly. So he just turned around. He was like, hey, why are you eating those free cookies? Dude turned around and he fucking maced him. The dude fucking maced him.
This is violence. Somebody like this needs to get hit with a whole bunch of socks full of nickels.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy is something, man. He's
authoritarian, man. Just can't help it.
Trump. He's Trump guy. He's exactly like the guy.
I'm a private enforcer.
I'm like a bounty hunter. I'm more like a bounty hunter. I'm not bound by the Constitution.
Let's talk about people that are bound by the Constitution. One of the biggest moments of Pike Bowl this weekend, to me, more than anything, was when the Oath Keepers showed up.
Oh, God.
It was a big deal. For those of you that don't know what the Oath Keepers are, they are like military and cop people that declare that they will uphold the Constitution should something happen to like the American government. They call themselves like 3 and 5, 3 percenters or something. They're like a very small minority of people that claim they're going to uphold American values no matter what the cost. And so what happened is the racists are out there doing their bullshit. We're standing there chanting against them. And this very tense moment happens where the Oath Keepers come up and there's like 30 of them. I mean, they were a pretty sizable group. And to me, if you uphold American values, you're still a fucking racist. I mean, like, they just felt like they were 1 degree away. It just felt like if we were to beat up guys that were doing Nazi Zig Heilings, they would come up and try to beat us up, which means they're Nazis.
Yeah. 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 They're Nazis.
But like, I don't know. They're a squirrely group, though. I mean, that is seriously somebody that we have to worry about.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like private authoritarians that just want to enforce shit and you don't realize what's going on in their head. Well, I guess you can by their miserable faces. You know what? Actually, that was a big part of Pikeville, too, is that I think for me, I saw how miserable those people were and I kind of heard their opinions. And I know people like that. And a big part of my turning my life around from heading in that same direction as those folks was, you know, for one, meeting new people, hanging out with a diversity of people, but then also being like, I don't want to pursue unhappiness. And those folks seem to really wallow in the unhappiness and like they seem to really enjoy the shit that we were throwing on them. They wanted to feel like losers and like that they were going against popular culture because, you know, they were screaming out banks and stuff. And it's like, dude, I mean, anarchists are the people that are people burning down the banks.
You
can't talk to us about banks. Are you serious? You're going to say that we're in control. We're being controlled by the banks. Are you fucking kidding me?
They want to control the banks.
Right.
That's the difference between us is that like, I don't want to control. I don't want there to be banks.
Yeah. So that, I don't know. It was that, I think that was a big part of it for me too, was I just, those people looked fucking, their lives looked miserable to me. And, I just was like, I felt pity more than anything after I leaving that place.
Yeah, I didn't feel a lot of pity for them, but I thought they seemed pathetic. Yeah, I guess that's pity, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
We also, like, It was a wonderful drive. I think we're going to do that drive more often.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
Like, I want to only go, I only want to drive on those roads.
Byways, man. There's highways, then there's byways. And those byways are beautiful. I've never been on any of those roads. And I mean, the cities that we passed through and the hillside and even the town of Pikeville was gorgeous. I mean, it was picturesque in places.
Yeah.
There was cliff sides and trees and so many like waterways and rolling hills. And it was really some of the most beautiful landscapes I've ever seen.
Yeah. There was stuff. There was cool. There were, it looked like there were a lot of cool restaurants and stuff there too. It was just like a cool ass little city. And like, but they have different, like the, even the Southern Ohio is incredible. Like, I've only been to Cincinnati. You don't even think about going any other way out of the city.
Yeah.
You know, we took 23 out of the city, so out of the state, and it was just incredible. It was really, I mean, I had to slow down to 35 sometimes, but I wanted to see stuff. There's a lot of scary ass fucking motels on the side of the road.
Yeah, there's definitely some squirrely situations we probably drove by.
We drove by a fucking hotel and one of the rooms had a four-wheeler outside of it.
Probably paid to get a valet.
I was just like, how did that get here? There's not a truck. All right, guys.
I saw like a really regular looking mom lady driving a four wheeler out there, like up the hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
I like grandmas and moms.
Yeah. Love them. Love those ladies. It's Mother's Day coming up. And
we're going to be in Michigan getting high.
I know. We're going to be getting super stoned on high-quality medical cannabis there in Clio, Michigan. If you haven't heard yet, we're going to be up there, bit.ly/SFEKK. That stands for Electric Canna Carnival. There's a whole gigantic bill of guests. 2 days, 3 nights of camping, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Come out, hang with us. We will be there fucking around, listening to music, checking out dabs and drinks and everything we can get our hands on.
Drinks. I didn't even think about drinks.
I know. You'll be able to get like some fucking bubblegum soda, some marijuana bubblegum soda maybe.
There's like a vitamin water version of marijuana.
Oh, something refreshing, or like a seltzer. Like where's the LaCroix with a little bit of...
I'd like that, a LaCroix, or like just marijuana LaCroix. If it tastes like weed, I don't think I'd care. Like the way that when you vape, the weed tastes a lot better. I would love that.
That'd be
if
nice.
You could drink it too.
Crisp and refreshing.
Yeah.
Better than cucumber water. So check it out. bit.ly/SFEKK. $80 for the whole weekend. That includes a camping pass. It's a great deal, and it's a great way to have some fun with us. It's going to be low-key. It's not like, you know, it's going to be intense or any other bullshit. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of independent artists there. So help us out. We got a unique opportunity to help out with that. A friend of ours is putting it on, so... we are happy to help him out. So thank you, everybody that joins us at the up there. For those of you that can't and you want to keep Street Fight moving in the right direction, check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/Street Fight Radio is the place to check out. You can get the zine every single month. You can get 25 grams of Kratom sent to your door every single month. Or you can get both. And all of our live videos, one every single month, for only $13. It's the best deal online. $13 right now gets you a zine, a bag of Kratom, and live shows from Street Fight every single month. I just released that Pittsburgh show with Chapo. It was a lot of fun. It was like an hour and a half long. We had a Q&A at the end. It was so much fun. Brian and I did a whole set about business tyrants to kick everything off. So if you haven't seen that yet, go to Vimeo, vimeo.streetfightradio.com. Then you can watch the video right there. If you're a Patreon person, I send out codes for discounts and to watch it for free, whatever that may be. But vimeo.streetfightradio.com to check out that Pittsburgh show. In May, we have the drug show that we did on 420 at Tree Bar in Columbus, Ohio, the one where you saw the Sleepy Matt Chrisman, Kushbaum. That's coming out in May. And we have the Hustler's Handbook is going to be the zine. So all of that is happening this month. If you want to get in on the action, go to patreon.com/StreetFightRadio to get that. We will be back next week as always. Peace.
No one knows me like the piano in my mother's home. You would show me I had something some people call a soul. The sky, oh, you arrived when I was 3 years old. No one knows me like the piano in my mother's home. Couldn't cope. They said that is her time. No, 'tis inside. I kept the feelings close.